It's never the project that's the problem. It's somewhere along the way, people got stressed, people couldn't communicate, or the vision was off somewhere.
This is The Art of Construction with your host, Devin Tilley, and co-host, Kevin Keefe. Devin has built a multi-7-figure business in the construction industry, selling windows, doors, and hardware over the past 13 years. Devin's passion for helping those around him led him to create the Art of Construction informational platform, a part of which is a fireside chat podcast with industry professionals all focused on how they apply art in their business and construction projects. Grown to an audience of over 100,000, Devin shares his strategies for what he has accomplished and creates insightful conversations with industry leaders. This is The Art of Construction, featuring your host, Devin Tilley, and co-host, Kevin Keefe.
Kevin, I think we're going to breathe a little bit easier after this conversation because I've heard Lila Gonzalez is going to talk to us about getting into a dynamic presence and breathing a little bit better. We could all use that, right?
Absolutely. And I think we might hear a little something about Snoga too.
Snoga. Let's check it out.
All right, here we go.
What's your favorite beverage?
Lemon water in the morning.
Lemon water in the morning. That sounds nice. Not the typical coffee, huh?
Followed by a coffee.
Gotta have that there first. That's perfect.
Tell us a favorite place you've traveled.
I would say Denver, Colorado. I came into Denver, Colorado about in 2014, and the second day here decided to leave my career and come on over here and start a new life. So Denver's been, it's sunny every day, and there's people nice everywhere, and they take really good care of the city. It's very clean and happy, and it's probably been one of my favorite places to visit. And now I live here, so I get to visit here quite often.
Awesome.
Awesome. I've never had someone say their favorite place they visited was here. Give us one story from that trip when you said I visited here and moved here right after that.
Yeah, I was really fascinated when I went. Grew up in Dayton, Ohio, and I was living in Columbus, Ohio at the time. And when I visited Denver, when I went back to Ohio, I told people this. I said, people are very nice. The food is very good. And people really are proud. That's what I noticed. People are really proud. So I would go to the restaurant and they would tell me all the ingredients in the food. I would go to the gas station and they would tell me the directions of how to get somewhere and make sure to stop by this place on the way because it's beautiful. So there's this sense of pride here that I hadn't found elsewhere.
Awesome.
And it just really pulled me in.
Well, there you go. What a good tee up for Denver, Colorado here. So I'd agree with all that stuff. When I moved here from North Dakota, I loved the people, but it was just always the experience and the lifestyle that we always asked. The next question is, what's your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction arena? You would say
yoga. I'm one of the Denver yogi types. Yeah.
There you go. But also the outdoors and all those things, you know.
Yeah.
Don't they do yoga at like Red Rocks and stuff?
Oh, yoga at Red Rocks, yoga in the mountains, yoga. How about Snoga? I've actually done yoga in the snow in Colorado.
Oh my goodness,
That's adventurous. Yeah.
Snoga, that's a new one.
Yoga in the park, yeah. So it's been, it's a nice place to. You can do it anywhere. It's sunny almost every day in Colorado, so you can just go outside and even in your backyard.
Awesome. Well, to start off, we got to give credit where credit is due, and Lila Gonzalez, who we're going to have a fireside chat with today, came to us into Studio AOC from Becky Hogstead, and she is actually our Director of First Impressions day-to-day at Mountain View Window and Door, but if that super awesome bubbly personality at the bookends of our show, that's Becky. So kudos to Becky for getting Lila in to tell her story. So give us your background, and let's have some fun.
Yeah, I'm really grateful to be here today because I always tell people I could sit for days and just watch a construction project, just watch the dirt being moved and what's going, you know, the sewer lines going in and all of that. It's really exciting for me, the process. So my background is I went to college and I got a master's degree in environmental science, environmental policy. It was post 9/11. I couldn't find a job. And I landed one in an engineering firm of all places. Well, I learned later engineering firms, construction companies need environmental people because they need to know what's going on under the ground. Is there any contamination, wetlands, you know, or are they going to kill any endangered species? All of that kind of fun stuff that I know construction industry isn't specialized in. So I came in as a specialist. And then over time, I started doing marketing and business development because the company I loved and I wanted to share with everybody. And over time, I've actually just last week talked to my former boss from that first job that I had at a geotechnical engineering firm. And what I learned was, and what I'll talk about a little bit later today, is that my way of being, just me being there and talking to people and sharing what the business did, ended up leading to over $25 million in revenue for this business over the last decade plus. And so I ended up working for two different companies in the engineering world, construction management world. And then I ended up going back for a PhD, and I studied collaborative decision making. And so what I worked on was brownfield redevelopment projects, so projects that were dirty, contaminated, a community wanted them to redeveloped, right? And what I found, so my findings were basically that these projects, these construction projects, these redevelopment projects, the primary factor in contributing to the success was two-way communication.
Really?
I did qualitative analysis. I did quantitative analysis of so many data. I did research interviews. It's the people, right? We all know that intuitively. It's never the project that's the problem. It's somewhere along the way, people got stressed, people couldn't communicate, or the vision was off somewhere. Right. And so I left academia, came to Denver College, actually got struck by the love of Denver and ended up, you know, my brother says I had an eat, pray, love moment for a few years, got into yoga, really lost weight, went through a divorce, you know, got myself really healthy in the mind, and then decided to start a business. And what I ended up doing is kind of combining this sense of, you know, how do we build business? You know, $25 million over a decade isn't too bad, right? For a company, a small minority owned business to grow that big. How do we combine the sense of collaborative decision-making, two-way communication? And then how do we bring it forward in this new age that's very different, right? Construction, engineering, architecture, yeah. Very different now. And so how do we bring it forward with a really strong vision? And what I believe is dynamic presence, what I call dynamic presence, to be able to, the way of being, your presence, your ability to fully be with yourself and be totally unshakable no matter what, that's the vision forward for every construction company, every architecture firm, and every construction management firm, anybody who wants to get out there and do sales, do marketing, grow the business. It's really in your way of being, your presence. So that's what I teach now. I speak and I coach and I consult companies on how to get their people in a position to experience exponential growth, not just a little bit of growth at a time, but exponential by changing the way you are.
Well, I am hooked. Yeah. And awesome lead-in. Let's read her bio, and then we're going to go on an awesome journey with Leela. Leela is a teacher of harnessing the power of femininity and is an advocate for mindful living, providing unique strategies for personal growth and transformation to men and women across the globe. Growing up in poverty, experiencing abuse and emotional neglect as a child, Leela strived hard to gain acceptance and fulfillment through her personal academic achievements, physical fitness, goals, and material belongings, with the hope of building a brighter life for herself. Well, thanks for opening up to us, and we're so excited to have you here. When it comes to dynamic presence, let's talk more about that.
I have a mentor that says presence precedes profits. And what it means is that we all know somebody who's wondered, how do I do this? I can't figure it out. And it's never in the strategy. It's often in their spinning in their head. Some people will call it, in the mindset world, we'll call it monkey mind. And we'll hear people say, well, just get present. We'll just breathe. And nobody's really teaching how. So that's what I'm here to bring forward, is saying like, well, we all know we need to get present. Right, so how do we do it? Well, I teach a three-step system. It's super simple. You breathe into your rib cage wide. You breathe into your rib cage back. And then you breathe into your rib cage on the front. And this is like conditioning. It's not like you just one day do it and then you're going to make $1 million. But if you do it over and over and over again, you spend less time worrying. So you actually are more efficient and you're more productive and you actually can connect with people better. right? So if you want to experience any sort of massive growth in your health, in your relationships, in your business, especially in this construction world, it's very competitive, right? And you want to be the kind of person that can in any moment be unshakable and shift back away from the stress, the monkey mind. How do you do it? You breathe. Three-step system. Breathe your ribs wide. Breathe your ribs back. Breathe your ribs in the front. And that brings your mind, your energy, down into your heart. And all of a sudden, you have to trust it. But all of a sudden, the answers start to rise. I host experiments. I almost feel like I'll tell you to do it, and then you'll get an answer, and it's like, wow.
So, yeah. Is the breathing thing? Is it like? Is it kind of a hypothetical, or is you really, really, as you practice, you're really moving?
That's
you're
a
filling
really
your lungs.
Question. So I love that. So in the beginning, everybody's a little bit different in terms of if they can feel their body. You may actually be numb in parts of your body. For example, my body, I tend to be a little bit more numb in the space between my heart and belly. There's a little space that's a little bit more numb, not as alive. So everybody's a little different. So what you want to do is you want to physically feel it, like you're saying, though. The rib cage, so the two steps are basically shift your awareness to your ribs and then let your breath move them. So you have a direction and an awareness shift, and all of a sudden things change. So yes, you'll feel your ribs go wide. The hardest part is the back ribs. Since our eyeballs are on the front of our face, it's very hard to be present to what's behind us. But we know we have nerves back there and can sense things. So when we take our breath and actually let the back ribs physically move and open, you get a whole new sense of awareness of what's around you. And you also can just feel more calm when you're in your body, more grounded.
So this, I'm presuming that part of this is designed so that it allows you to focus better instead of thinking about, you know, peripheral things, the monkey thought process, mm-hmm. is that it allows you to be focused on the conversation. Like as you described in working with brownfield development as an example, you've got many opposing parties. You've got developers who have one agenda. You've got environmental people that have a different agenda. You've got city planners that have a third agenda, and you're trying to work through all that in a way that's going to get to a positive outcome, right?
Absolutely.
So talk about how that works specifically with those diverging kinds of groups, which is not uncommon. We face that all the time.
I've got a beautiful example even I could give you of, and I would add on, there's the opinions of business, local business owners as
right.
well.
Absolutely. Right?
So we've got the developers, we've got the city, we've got the community, and we've got the business owners. And how do we get them all to work together? I've got a beautiful example of Painesville, Ohio. There was a hospital project. It was a brownfield redevelopment project. And you had all these differing opinions about what should happen. Should we put in a bike path? Right? Should we put in flower pots? What should the hospital redevelopment project be? There's all these questions. And like you're saying, the developer has an idea. The city has an idea. The community, the people, the neighborhoods, they have an idea. And then the business owners have an idea. Well, my research has found, and from, you know, I could tell you story after story, it's back to getting to two-way communication. Well, how do we get to two-way communication? We have to be present. It's like the precursor. So if you go to a meeting, you'll see if you go to a construction, like say there's an RFP out for a project and you go to that meeting, you're more likely to get the project. You're more likely to be the successful bidder if you're the kind of person that people want to be around. So how do you be the kind of person that people want to be around? So for example, in this hospital project in Painesville, Ohio, they brought in a consultant, this project. They brought in a consultant to be that, to express that presence, right? And so what if you didn't have to hire a consultant from outside? What if you could just actually be the kind of person who knows how to listen, who knows how to survey the community, who knows how to have two-way communication, even if it's hard, but to trust that presence, that full body presence out of the mind, you know, being able to really truly connect with somebody, your community, listen to the community, the developers can really hear what the city wants. Because sometimes that's a challenge. The city wants something, the developer wants something. They actually want the same thing, but there's a communication issue. Or they want something different and they don't know how to communicate about it. So like you're saying, if we get into our body and breathe, we get out of our head, and a project like Painesville, Ohio, I'll share what happened. What the city thought was that they needed bike paths. And by bringing in a consultant to bring in this level of presence to open up two-way communication. And we'll say it's like multiple-way communication at this point. What they found was if they put in flower pots, it's such a simple example. We could go massive scale here, but so simple. Sometimes these are things that make or break projects, though. A flower pot versus a bike path. We all know that. And what they found is they put flower pots in because they did a survey. They got really present with the community. They had conversations. And what ended up happening because of the flower pots, it's not just the flower pots, all of the community started to take pride in that area and started to dump money in, have fundraising. And now it's like gorgeous. And they were able to put in bike paths later down the road. But just simply by opening up the lines of communication, being present enough to feel like something is off, bike paths aren't working, then they had this willingness to show up in a whole new way. And now the whole community in the city is thriving and succeeding because of communication through flower pots.
So, and the big issue with the bike pass was not whether it was viable or legitimate. It was really whether it was economical at the time, and feasible.
And desirable.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. It has nothing, and never, these projects do not fail because of the economics. They do not fail because of the design fail. It's the people. So if we get really present, the economics will work out. The numbers will always work out. They'll always find the money or cut something out if the desire is there, if they get really present and listen to each other.
This is just magical sitting listening to you talk, because I had the pleasure of last week. I'm in Grand Junction, where I'm a co-owner in a facility that we opened up called Junction Station. So www.jxnstation.com. And what I did is I really turned my dream into reality. And for the last year and a half, it's been a lot of I should have learned your breathing techniques a little bit earlier, because what I'm doing is we're taking design center and co-working and putting it all together. So it's actually my parents, my wife, and I are all co-founding this facility, with the anchor tenant being Mountain View Window and Door, my company. And last week we've had Mountain View operating out of there, and it's just been this conflict of interest and struggle, because it's been all about how do we build it to where it changes every day. And we've had all this stress because we didn't have the people in the building. We didn't have the community. It was just us trying to figure out how to build this community. And finally we just said, let's just open up the doors and let a few people come in. And last week it was just magical. So I'm going to make sure Cindy with CP Designs listen to this, because yeah, it wasn't perfect. You know, we had to get the internet working and the stuff, right?
Yeah.
But all that stuff was secondary when she came in and made it her space, and everybody was high-fiving and the community came together that day. And then the office is starting leasing. And then, and you know, your shoulders just drop and you start to breathe, because the community is truly coming together. But it was I didn't think through how much work it was going to be to make something that is a clean slate for everybody to come in and be their space inside of the space. So that's kind of, it was us, you know, we were the everything in the space, and it all worked. And at the end of the day, I think there's a lot of fun that's going to come out of this because we took that risk. But I really resonates when you say it's the people, because we could sit and you look at the numbers and analyze it all day long, and it would never work until you bring a community together, and bam, here we are. You know, now it's on Facebook, and my family, and you know, my internal family, everybody's just all jazzed up about it in that community. So I had to share that story. So go check out Junction Station, and we're really putting that together. Where Kevin day-to-day works at the Denver location at Mountain View, and we had other companies in there, but we never really created the community there, so it never really worked. And it's hard. It's hard. It seems so easy just because they're in the building, you're going to go talk to them. That's not how it works. You have to make an effort to have that communication happen. What would you say about that?
The hardest part of business is the humans.
Yeah. I used to be in the window and door business. Now I'm in the people business. And it's fun, but it's different, challenging, right?
It's very different. And I would even say that even if you're a contractor in the window and door business, you're still in the human business.
Oh, yeah.
So it may be
it's
not
realizing that.
On,
it's
yeah. Yeah, so this presence piece, it may not be for everybody. So say you're a computer coder, like presence may not be that important to you, right? You may be behind a computer all the time and presence may not be actually that important. But presence is important for people who are in sales, right? People who have to do any sort of presentation, if you're a speaker, if you have to give, you know, presentations to, for example, bid on a project, that you might have to go and actually present your company and say, this is how amazing we are. And if you don't have presence, if you're up in your head nervous, they're like, eh, do they really know what they're talking about?
Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
I get relationships as the project goes on. Like, how do you make this successful project and then work together in this way that's like really powerful and up levels everybody?
Well, I think that's really an important kind of distinction, is that we all have, it's kind of like the movie where you've got, you know, you had the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other shoulder, and it doesn't have to be that way, except that we all talk to ourselves, right? So you're in a group conversation of some kind, whether it's a meeting or you're on the phone, and rather than listening to the other person, you're talking to yourself, and so you can't listen as well. And then you're thinking of all these things you're worried about potentially, and none of that really has any value, but yet we do it. So that's the whole idea, I guess, behind what you're saying, is kind of let that go so you can focus on the conversation, you can focus on the two-way communication and figure out what needs to get done so you can have a successful, you know, meeting or project or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, and what's fascinating is that we don't realize is that the other person, so yes, we have that devil and angel going on. We got all sorts of stuff. We got ideas. We're, you know, excited about them even. Sometimes stress. There are disagreements. Like, I don't think that person knows what they're talking about. Whatever it is, there's these little things that even if we don't want them to happen, they happen. Sometimes there's thoughts that, like, I don't like that. But what's the thing that people don't realize is that the person sitting across from you subconsciously knows that that's going on. So they don't trust you. They don't want to really listen to what you're saying. They don't really like your... Something's off. Something's a little wonky, one of my mentors says, about the energy. So that's the piece that I'm here to bring forward, even for your whole audience, is like, you might be having that going on in your mind, but what you may not realize is that every single person you meet knows it on a subconscious level. Some level, they're like, eh. They don't feel quite right around you. So what if we could get to a place where that wasn't going on, not only for yourself, but also so everybody around you starts to think you're like amazing and you're attractive and you're really competent, right? You're the best in your industry.
Yeah, make yourself likable, but you got to like yourself first, right?
Exactly.
That's totally. Look yourself in the mirror, and you know, we have so many great speakers, and that's really at the end of the day, is get yourself right, and then it'll come across, and then you can work to help others and all that kind of stuff. I'm curious, online, your website, before we started, you said you're going to be doing the same retreat in Manitou Springs this year as you did last year, and it talks about the 7-step sales program. Is that connected, or what's this all about?
Yeah, absolutely. So I said earlier, you know, presence precedes profits, but we all know we need strategy. We all know we need to understand how to have a sales conversation, how to market our business, how to reach the people that really need your goods and services, right? So I do teach strategy too. I'm doing a 4-day retreat, November 8th through November 11th in Manitou Springs, Colorado. It's a beautiful retreat center, vegetarian food that's all mostly grown there on property. There's hot springs you'll be able to soak in. And what we do is you get present in your body. You really learn how to fully be with you so that you can have these beautiful conversations, amazing connections, present like a boss, but also what to say, like the actual language, you know, how do you create a strategy that's actually going to make somebody see the value in what you have to offer? So I teach systems, I teach strategy, but what I would offer is that if you're somebody who, you may already have a sales system, if you're using one already, if you need a new one, reach out to me. I've got one for you. But whatever the strategy is, presence precedes it. If you're not present, the strategy won't work. The sales system won't work. So what's beautiful about the retreat in November, the weekend of 11-11, a manifestation weekend, we do vision board sessions also. So you have your system. You can go out. Everybody that comes to the retreat pretty much gets everything on their vision board comes true in about 3-month period. So if you want some dreams to come true in 2019, going to a retreat the weekend of 11-11 where you're, you know, really identifying what do you want to make happen the next year, using the group energy to, you know, boost you up, hold you accountable, maybe even build your dreams bigger, right? And then getting really present. And then you can go out and implement this beautiful sales strategy.
I'm intrigued. We'll make sure we have links in the show notes. If you're interested in that, we'll get the contact information for you to talk more. Can you give us a dangle a carrot on the 7-step sales program? Like, what are those 7 steps?
Yeah, here's what I'll do. And instead of listing the 7, I'm going to take you through kind of the energy around sales. I'll just give you the general idea. And then this can be used in your sales conversation if you want to sell something, but also just in a conversation with a friend that maybe they're having a challenge and you want to be a really good listener and maybe even give them an idea of
how
to
do it. Or even my 3-year-old at home she knows how to get what she wants. I got to get
this. This will work. Okay. So here's sales in a nutshell. Somebody has a challenge. So you just want to ask, and I'm going to go, I'll say I'm from Ohio and my biological father's from New York City. So I have a lot of New York energy. So I might bring in a little Brooklyn on you. Okay.
All right.
So here's the deal. It's like, hey girl, you got a problem? Yeah, I got a problem. So you got to see your construction company. The city's got a problem. They got a problem. They want something built. They want something torn down. They want something shifted or changed along the roadway in the city, wherever. So they have a problem. So you really want to be a good listener. And hear their problem. That's the number one thing that I believe people make mistakes. They don't listen. How do you listen? You get present. You breathe into your ribs. 1, 2, 3. Wide, back, forward. So number one is listen to their problem in sales. Ask questions. Actually care. Like, know their problem better than they know it. Okay. And then you want to find out, like, why isn't it solved? What have they tried that hasn't worked? Have they even tried anything yet? Or do they have no idea? Or have they tried things and that hasn't worked? They haven't really got what they want. So 1, know their problem. 2, figure out what they've tried to solve it that hasn't worked. Okay. And then the 3rd is offer them an idea that will work. It's simple.
Be a trusted advisor. Give them a solution.
Generous, yeah, be a very generous advisor even, right? Like, they're not going to be able to necessarily do the thing. It's not like your idea is going to all of a sudden break through to them and it's going to make them a bajillion dollars and you're going to lose out. Really be generous. And I think this is another mistake. People say, well, if I give all my ideas away, they're going to know what to do and not need me. They need you. You're the expert. If you're the salesperson, you're the expert in your area. So just trust it. Give more away than maybe you're used to in terms of advice. And then, you know, see how it lands, right? What's your problem? 1, what's been getting in the way to solving your problem? 2, right? Give them a solution. See how it lands with them. If they say, yeah, that's a really good idea. And say, do you know that you can't do this by yourself? Right? I mean, that's pretty much what it is. Do you know that you can't do this alone? I would love to be your person. I would love to be your product. I would love to be your team to get you where you want to go. But if we don't know where the person wants to go, we don't know the results, we don't know their problem, there's no way we can share the value of what we have to offer. So if you have a construction company, if you have an architecture firm, you want to really identify that thing that your client or your potential client is dealing with that's really bothering them. What they've tried, what are their headaches? Like, they've tried everything and it hasn't worked. But you know you have the thing that's going to get them where they want to go. Honor that. Offer it. Offer it. Offer it. Offer it.
So find the pain and fix it.
Find the pain, but really know it. That's the issue. People think they know it. So for example, the city might want a new project, like a new building built. Something simple, like a new, we'll go big, like a new civic building. What if the city want a new civic building? Well, why? Like, there's usually an underlying issue. Like, well, their current one is too small. So then instead of talking about the new civic building, just talk about the space. It's going to be huge. You can have as many people as you want. There's going to be a lawn. You know, there's always something, a little spin, a little bit of a hook in sales, right? There's the result people want, and then there's the feeling people want.
Yeah. Well, that's a great explanation. It's Simon Sinek, start with why instead of start with what.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and when you talk about being present, I think that really rings a bell with the idea that it's impossible to be able to listen if you're thinking about all the reasons why they should hire you and you're not thinking or not listening, I should say. And are just thinking, you're not listening to them as to what the real issue and issues are, you're not going to be able to then come up with a solution that's going to match what they're really looking for.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we all know that the worst thing is when you talk to somebody and you feel like they haven't heard you. And it happens in sales all the time. Somebody says, I have a problem. And a contractor, an architect, somebody comes to them with a proposal. And the proposal was more about their company and their expertise than about fixing the problem. And so like you're saying, if you're truly present, you can pick up on that little thing that you might not have picked up on otherwise if you were thinking about how amazing your company is and you can offer them this project that's so great. So you, like you're saying, presence really precedes any sort of project even.
Yeah, if you're a firm that's done 50 or more civic buildings and yet somebody else is listening to what the issue is and comes up with that idea, the fact that you've done 50 may or may not be of importance to them. Okay. It's the fact that they listen to specifically what that group is trying to achieve and found an idea or two to say, here's how we can do it. That's what's going to get their attention.
Yeah, and I think cookie cutter used to work and it no longer does. People want exclusive, people want to be seen very special. And so I think even in the development world, we can see that probably it's transformed from more, if you can see somebody and what they need in their development project versus just offering something that's more like a template, the likelihood of you expanding is way higher. People don't really want that template anymore. They want something special.
Wow. Yeah, and my example of the Junction Station, when we were all about the what, like we have these offices and this and that and trying to just make it cookie cutter, it was just spiraling out of control because that everybody wants something that's them. But then once we just focused on the community and just opening the doors and listening and understanding, we have to have those templates and systems and all those things that we talked about earlier. But it changes when you find in the why instead of just what you do. And then it also really helps everybody else too, because you can get stuck in the weeds of what we sell, how we sell it, what do we need? We need more sales. All these things, you get lost in the shuffle instead of why you're doing all this stuff. And for Junction Station, it's about building a community, which is technically what we're doing in any of our business, right? Whatever you're trying to sell, you're trying to build a tribe, as we say here on The Art of Construction. So earlier you had said, and especially in today's world, how much it's changing. What would you say something that you would say to our listening audience of this changing world of how to be a dynamic presence in the world of YouTube and Facebook and social media on and then the backlash right now with Facebook? What's your take to all that?
I love this question because I use social media marketing for about 50% of the marketing in my business. And I love it. And I use it from a powerful place, from a very present place. And I use it to connect really genuinely, but not everybody does. Right. And what I believe the shift has been is that as humans, as our evolution, just where we are with our technology, we have people's faces in front of us all the time talking, we can pick up on the subtle BS.
Yeah.
Didn't used to be like that. Salespeople were, they could sell. Now, no. If you're not walking your talk and if you don't have a quality product that you believe in and if you don't really serve at a high level, people will feel it quick now. So I really believe it's even more important with the way that there's so much exposure to sales, social media, on the, just on the drive here, I probably saw at least a dozen billboards, right? There's marketing on everything. So it's so much more important now to be fully aligned with what you're selling, to be the kind of person that's in integrity everywhere in your life, right? And have a willingness to serve at a super high level. Because otherwise people will subconsciously, they just feel the BS now. You can tell.
Well, and I think the other thing too is that there's just such an inundation. There's always been a lot of advertising and other messages and images and things, but I think it's just exponential now to the point where people have less and less patience for things that don't align with what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. The only way to grab their attention is who you are. It's never what you say. It's if you're, I could say blah, 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 and keep your attention for probably 10 minutes if I'm super present. And you'd probably buy something from me even.
That's pretty scary.
Because you would like me, maybe you would trust me. Something deep within you would say like, okay, I think she's all right. But if somebody's trying to sell you something because they have an agenda that they want you in on their thing and it's not really going to serve you, they'll pick up on it. So how do we shift that? Dynamic presence, really being with yourself, fully. How do you do that? Just breathe. Just try the 3-step process. You have to trust it. It sounds woo-woo, I know. And it works.
I think you're the third person this month that I've talked to through the Art of Construction has really built this great network of people that are doing things differently, right? So we're kind of a disruptor in the art of construction, if you will, because we're trying to work smarter, not harder, and be the forward thinking. And man, it's amazing how much breathing comes up. You know, it's just part of the moving forward plan, I guess, because we keep hearing it. So we better jump on board, Tribe.
Well, and I'm hearing, even though there's a little woo-woo, I think at the end of the day, if you practice it, there's probably some wow-wows at the end, right? So
exponential possibilities. I'm serious. Because the thoughts that are holding the thoughts are what it takes time, it costs money, and it ruins relationships. So if you want exponential growth, practice presence. It's like conditioning. It's like going to the gym. It's not easy, right? Because you have to commit to something new and different, just like drinking lemon water maybe in the morning. And yet, what I would say, I would love to offer, simply by the fact that you have this called the art of construction, you're already in the space of combining what's possible between the physical construction and the creative space, which I call breath or art.
I appreciate you saying that, because that was really my vision when I started this thing, because I really think that's what the construction world really needs, is a lot more art. And when people say, what do you mean by the art? I say the creative process. Well, breathing is part of that creative process that, you know, it's this junction station. I originally was going to call it Art of Construction, and I realized I had a brand identity crisis if I did that, because the best ideas are stolen. So I met with the different partners that I'm working in, and this Brian Watson, who owns the Proximity Software, has just been phenomenal coaching us on how to do this. And he's like, you really have to have a local brand. That's why we named it Junction Station. And it's where the two rivers meet, the Gunnison and the Colorado meet, the Junction, Grand Junction, Colorado. Sorry, that's going on. But the reason I bring this up is that you got to know where the swim lanes and where that is. Art of Construction is a global megaphone. And it took us a few years to really craft that. Mm-hmm. That Art of Construction is three things. It's a podcast, it's video, and it's events for the Art of Construction. Well, what's the Art of Construction Tribe? It's everybody that wants to be part of that. We passionately now can say, Leela is one of our people in the Art of Construction, talking about, yes, the 7-step sales process, but breathing is a big part of that, right?
Absolutely.
So I appreciate you saying that, because that's really the vision when I created this, that a lot of people were a little woo-woo about that, what I'm doing, you know?
Oh, I'm sure. Art? What?
Yeah, because it's just too construction. We've always done it this way, or too corporate, what's your lowest price? Well, that stuff doesn't come up in that, typically.
Things have shifted. Yeah. The market's shifted, too.
And it's funny how when we do the videos where we're really very scripted and, you know, trying to not be who we are, they don't come across as good as the authentic. You know, when we do video shoots where I have my trust advisors just say what you like and what you're all about. They're just so much more genuine, to where you connect, like you're talking about, in my point of view.
Yeah, and that creative energy that comes through, like you're saying, when people just talk about what they love, is what we all want more of, what we all feel, right? That's what's going to sell. And that comes from the inside space. So if we just practice being with our breath and our heart, that creative energy that'll come through, the fluidity of language when you're presenting, all of that is just natural. So that's why practicing is so important. We can talk about it, and we can wait until we get in front of those people that we get nervous around, or we can practice at home like we're, you know, lifting weights or something, just a simple breath. I often say, a good way to start is just do it before you get out of bed in the morning. You know, do it all day long if you can, practicing when you get nervous and anything like that. But if you just do it before you get out of bed, take a few moments, then all of a sudden when you get into the nervous space, you have a reminder. Okay, I know how to breathe wide, back, and forward. Get present and sell and grow exponentially.
Since tomorrow, I'm introducing the AOC as an affiliate for the Colorado New Construction Summit. And I have to tell this story, because it's kind of sometimes you fake it till you make it, or you just genuinely follow your dreams. And I get a call from Robert Lindley, who was a guest on our sister station, System Build Lifestyle. And he calls, he's like, well, what do you want for your welcome music? And I was already a little bit nervous, because I heard they have over 400 people RSVPs, and I'm the first person to come on stage. And I'm like, oh man, wow, no one's ever asked me what I want for my welcome music, because this is something I've been building up, just generally trying, passionately building this tribe. I was like, I don't know, Rocky? He's like, yeah, I love it. So we're going to do the Rocky thing when I'm going to come up and get everybody pumped up. But I'll definitely be breathing on the side of the stage, because tribe, you know, we're all human, right? Mm-hmm. But if you're genuinely passionate, I think people want to be part of that tribe. And if you're always faking it, you'll never make it. You got to keep working and growing and push yourself. You know, it's not easy to do this kind of stuff, to step out in front of 400 people and tell everybody what the art of construction is. But a lot of people are going to know about it and hopefully passionately get something good out of that for that. So thank you for taking the time and telling us your story. As a learning organization, if there's one thing you want the Art of Construction tribe to hear to help them grow their business or move forward, what's that one thing you want to leave them with today?
Breathe and be with yourself more often.
Awesome. Oh, that's great. Thanks so much for coming and telling us your story.
Thank you.
Breathe. My ribs are full. Thanks, Leela. Good stuff. I'm so excited for the tribe to learn more about what you have going on and reach out to you from the show notes with all your cool stuff you have going on. And I love how she brings the construction world into everything else, because think about that, tribe, is you got to really focus in on your audience and get that relationship, which I think she did a really good job with us, is coming in and saying, I've done some research and I really want to target this conversation to your audience right when we met her. And then our radar went up and it just kind of snowballed from there, wouldn't you say, Kevin?
Absolutely. And the thing I find really the most fascinating about her background and how she approaches this is that she came from the business initially, meaning she came from construction and engineering and that, not from the breathing world, but came from the process of design, build, and engineering, and you know, meeting with people and doing all of what we all do every day. And as a result of that, came to the idea that there's a better way to communicate, and this is the result of that. And so when we hear the breathing and we kind of tease and make fun about it, the reality is that it's shown to be effective, and she really recognizes how to make that work, how to make all of us work more effectively to that outcome of, you know, better results in sales.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, dynamic presence is everything. When you're off, it's just not going to be as good. So we all have to call ourselves out and say, what makes you tick? Like, I loved her example about how we're all different, and she has this one spot she was talking about where she really has to focus on. You better find your spots. And that's why we're trying to bring all these awesome personalities to think about breathing. Have somebody to understand your irises and your body and your whole transformation to transfer your enthusiasm and really be in there and use your two ears and your one mouth to listen a lot more and really understand your why and your customer's why.
Absolutely. And I think one of the most impactful things that she talked about is that, you know, when you're in that kind of a exchange of idea conversation in a meeting, whatever the case may be, and you're off, they're going to notice it. And it's not just because you're off, it's because you're not present. You're not really engaged and connecting in there. And if nothing else, think about those times where you've gotten to a meeting and you were, for whatever reason, you were late and things just happened. All the wheels started coming off the bus, so to speak. And you get to that meeting and you got all these things on your mind and that's what you're thinking about. Instead of thinking about what's going on in the meeting, the reality is they're going to pick up on it. So that whole process that she's talking about in terms of breathing to start with is going to help you kind of erase that chalkboard of all that crap that happened on the way to the meeting.
Totally.
To allow you to kind of really be present and do a much better job. Because having all those thoughts and all that worry about what happened or what you're going to talk about isn't going to do you any good if you don't connect in the
totally.
First place. Yeah.
Yeah, and one last plug, if you're interested in our concept of design center meets co-working, a lot of cool stuff. We're putting a bunch of videos, authentic, just raw videos on our YouTube channel, and it's all, you can get through everything in the show notes here on The Art of Construction or JXN www.debhogstedstation.com. Check it out. We'd love to hear from you if you're in the area. Deb Hogstead, our community lead, would love to meet you. She's doing tours every Tuesday and Thursday from 9 to 11. So meet you at the Junction and Art of Construction. We're doing all kinds of stuff from the global megaphone all the way down to local here in Colorado, where when someone says the best place they traveled was Denver, so she moved here. Hey, I couldn't agree more. So if you're in Denver, hit us up. Thanks for your great story, Leela. Hey, Tribe. I'm so passionate about this tribe that we're building and just want to say thanks for listening. And as the Go-Giver, maybe you can give me something back. If you liked what you heard today, do us a favor and head over to iTunes and give us a review. It's really how the podcasting world grows their business. And that's what we're all about here. This helps to get the podcast in front of people looking to grow their business. We want to hear what you want more of. This is for you, contractors and architects, to grow your business. Talk to you on the next one, Tribe.